Yeah. Game two tonight, Leroy. Are you excited? Can you feel it?
Oh, yeah.
Down your plums.
Only thing that sucks is when I start watching the game, is the sun's still out. So the contrast sometimes screws with the reception.
You're talking about your outdoor TV.
Yeah. I watch the game on my jacuzzi, man.
I know you do. Nice and relaxed.
Yep.
Keeping it nice and loose for the game. South Florida, are you ready? Jimmy Buckets, are you ready? Took their soul that last game, Leroy. They had a victory in hand, and they blew it. They thought that they got us at the worst that they could get us. Rusty.
Now. That's the one thing that I will say. If there's anything positive for the Heat, scoring 16 and 18 points, you're not supposed to win that game.
Yep.
And they won it.
But they did.
Right. So I expect, you know, everybody says, how much better can Boston play? Right? Like, that was one of their best shots. The Heat still got a lot more. They got a lot better basketball to.
Can't wait. Let's get to some headlines, Robbie. What do we got going on this hour?
This is WAXYAM South Miami and WSFSFM HD2 Miramar, a radio.com sports station.
Which is brought to you by the Ryan Fields Dusters. Convenience stores truly steps beyond convenient. So about like 15 minutes ago on Get Up, they were doing like a full-fledged Adam Gase rip fest. And I tuned in for the audio sometimes. Mostly I was watching, but it looked and sounded awesome.
What was the best part of it?
Well, Mike Greenberg, he's a Jets fan, so he is a little bit more biased about his rant towards Adam Gase. But then Damian Woody, who has no allegiance, he was going off on Adam Gase. Bro, when is a quarterback going to actually improve under this guy? Like he was losing it, and he has no allegiance to anybody.
Wait, didn't Damian Woody play for the Jets?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Played for the Jets and the Patriots, right?
Right. Yeah, the Patriots. So what is he talking about? Robbie said he doesn't have a – what is he talking about?
He's played for multiple teams. Like I think he did some time with Detroit too, Damian Woody. But he was going off on Adam Gase. And then, you know, but then Adam Schefter had Adam Gase's back. He's like, oh, no, he went 6-2 at the end of last year. These things take time.
Shut up, dude. He went 6-2 at the end of last year. How many times does he get to use that excuse? This is what my record was the last 4 weeks. Brr. All right, great. If only the season was 4 weeks, maybe Adam Gase would be a stud.
You know, the last person to use that is now in Arizona.
Kenyon Drake.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
Led the league in rushing for the last 5 weeks.
Yep. I remember
that. Except the season 16 games, bro.
Yeah. Thanks for the update, Kenyon. Much appreciated.
How's he doing in Arizona?
I have no idea.
Well, he's a lead. They got rid of David Johnson. Like, but the end of last year, he was amazing with the Cardinals. The end of last year, once he was on the Cardinals. But was it
amazing last 5 weeks of the season?
Yeah, maybe that's his thing. Yeah, he was getting like 3 touchdowns a game like the last 5 weeks of the season.
He rushed last week. He had 16 carries for 60 yards with a touchdown.
Wow, that's an ass beat right there, bro.
But Kyler Murray was the leading rusher on that team with 91 yards and a touchdown. Kyler Murray,
are you starting to turn on the ant?
Kyler Murray is good. I didn't really have a Kyler Murray opinion. I haven't watched him enough to know.
Right.
But I watched. You know what's amazing? I watched a good amount of this, and he is fun.
All these little tiny quarterbacks throw some of the prettiest balls.
Yep.
You see the ball, nice tight spiral. I mean, even Russell Wilson.
Yeah. Yeah. Can't wait for our tiny quarterback to get out there and start throwing.
Well,
can't wait.
His hip. Let's.
No, not in the injury report. They took him off officially this week.
All right. Still not going to play.
For now.
Yeah, for now. For now. I'd say week 4. Now, if they're 2-1, then that's not an accurate assessment.
Well, how do we think this Fitzpatrick cycle is going to go? Does it continue going downward, or does he have a comeback because the Fitzpatrick cycle knows no bounds.
That's what happens with average. If you have a bad game, you have a good game, and it averages out to average.
But he also had a good run to end of the season. So does he have more games to pay the bill?
If you look at the bad games that the team had last year, he paid the bill. Like, I can't tell you when the good games and bad games going to come. But at the end of the year, you're going to say, oh, you know what? He had just as many good games as he had bad games. That's average.
What else you got, Robbie?
So remember yesterday we were telling you about, you know, Playoff P. We're trying to find that video or that soundbite you made of the old Lakers pitch to Paul George.
Yes.
Well, I found it.
You've been dreaming about this since you were growing up back at Palmdale. Lil boy, big dreams. You've been dreaming about it since the Miami Heat were kicking your ass every single year in the postseason. You were even dreaming about it when you got catfished by that dude, Slap My Fatty. I mean, seriously, how could you not tell that was a fake ass? You were dreaming about it when you missed that big shot in the playoffs. You were even dreaming about it when you missed that other big shot in the playoffs. You were dreaming about it in that Gatorade commercial where they made it seem like you made big shots in the playoffs. You know, the one that aired right after you missed another big shot in the playoffs. You were dreaming about it when you were holding Russell Westbrook's pocket all of last season. I mean, you really want to be tied to that ball hog the rest of your career? Your ass better come join the Lakers, Paul George, because it hasn't been going right this entire time.
Oh, my God. How did you even remember I made that?
So remember that thing?
All the bits are blurring together. I've been doing this, the silly sauce too long, Leroy.
Well, no, it's like you'll be sitting around doing nothing. You know, you could go out back and catch iguanas. You could go fishing. You could play with your kids, right? But no, you say, oh, I know what I was thinking. I want to get Paul George.
It's really that shot he took the other day that hit, like, that almost broke the basket, that hit the side of the backboard.
Yeah.
That made me think,
yeah,
oh, that's another.
He shot the corner three, yeah. and it hit the side of the. I'm like, wow.
They had to do construction on that hoop after that shot. That made me think of all the playoff shots that Playoff P had, and it reminded me of that sound.
Has he ever made one?
No.
Playoff.
I remember he got fouled on a 3-point shot against the Heat, and he made all three free throws. But then LeBron had that layup at the buzzer.
So still no.
That's correct. Yeah, still no.
Oh man, a lot of giggles this morning between that and Little Face Coffee. What else you got, Robbie?
That's my favorite this morning.
Uh-oh.
Because nothing is funnier. Why is he whispering?
I don't know. I guess he's
trying
polite.
To sneak up on Big Face Coffee.
Uh-oh. Crazy. Uh-oh. Can we hear Big Face Coffee?
I came to Big Face Coffee. But it's closed, man. Unfortunately, and this time I bring cash, too. And now I don't have other option to go to Little Face Coffee.
Come on, bro. That guy's, he's the best.
Like, where the hell's Jimmy?
I don't know.
I want to hear him negotiate about the cost of a cup of coffee.
It's
That should be the next video. Them negotiating price. And Gogi saying this is price gouging.
What else you got, Robbie? Let's get some. What do we got for golf?
Yeah, that's right. We got the U.S. Open underway, which is brought to you by the Edmund Watts Golf Shop, over the 90-day, 100% satisfaction guarantee, serving golfers around the country since 1968. Leroy.
We got a lot of even pars, but right now we have 9 guys under par, led by Tyrrell Hatton at -2.
Really?
All the other guys are 1 under. That's it. I'm telling you, when this golf course starts getting nice and crunchy, under par is going to be a dream. Tiger's at even par. He had a couple of good up and downs from a sand trap. Was it Jordan Spieth? He got a ball stuck in a tree. So he's three over after three holes.
Who is Sexer writes out, who is Little Face Coffee? Like, do you think he's referring to Starbucks?
No, I just think he just said it, you know, the opposite of Big Face.
It would be funny if, like, if somebody on the team, like, opened a Little Face Coffee to rival Jimmy Butler.
Oh, speaking of little, did I tell you my Fern Toria story?
Refresh me.
So Robert Smith called me one time. He was a golf tournament. He says, Leroy, I got somebody that wants to talk to you. He's a big fan. I say, all right, put him on the phone. I say, who is it? He says, Vern Troyer. I'm like, who? He says, Vern Troyer. I'm like, who? He goes, many me. I'm like, oh.
Was he on the golf course with him?
Yes.
Wait, many me could golf?
Huh?
Many me could golf?
Anybody could golf.
But, like, did he have the little sticks?
I mean, that a way to take a story and ruin it, dumbass.
I mean, did they have to play best ball? Good short game on Mini-Me?
Dude, he's dead. You gotta be like,
he's been dead for a while.
No, he hasn't.
Yeah, he has. He's been dead
like
for
a couple of years.
Nah, he's been in the grave for a while, dude.
Let's see. He has been dead. Oh, it's only been since 2018.
Oh, yes.
Really? April 2018.
Yes! Holy smokes. I thought what do you least... guys? Come on.
I thought he was gone for at least 5 years. I feel bad.
Have some couth. Jeez.
Some what?
Couth.
The hell's that?
Huh?
What the hell is...
You don't know what couth is?
Never heard of couth.
Put it this way. It's a real word, unlike your snubbery.
Snubbery is a word, dude.
No, it's not. Couth is a word.
Spell it.
Couth. Spell it like you say it.
Not coming up.
Wait, let me see. Couth.
Oh, I'll be careful. I'll be careful of searching that. On the Google.
Right? Couth. I'm on my own personal computer.
You might get something unintended.
Oh, here we go. C-O-U-T-H.
Oh, I see it. Okay. A culture refined, well-mannered.
Right. Have some.
Oh, so when the Heat, gentlemen swept the Bucks, they showed couth.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, pull up snubbery.
Okay. snubbery. To not give the Heat the proper respect on the All NBA.
So, you got your own dictionary now?
Yep, sillysauce.com.
Yeah, all right. See? Told you. Couth is a word. Snubbery. Snubbery. Ooh, snobbery.
Toogle.
Snobbery.
I'm pretty sure snubbery.
Snubbery is not a word, dude.
Dude, snubbery is a word.
You're not, and I can't believe. Here's what I can't believe. I can't believe you put it on paper and sent it to us.
Hmm?
Yes.
Snubbery. Hey. Definition. Adverb. To be snubbed.
No, it's not. That's like, wait, Robbie. Robbie was like, oh, it's a word. Robbie, that's why I can't do a show with you two, because Robbie was buying it.
Maybe he was
using it. You could see. You can't see him, Robbie. I'm looking right at him, knowing that I'm trying to pull up the word, too. There is no way in hell that word came up that fast.
Maybe he's using Hoogle.
Yeah, Hoogle.
No, I wasn't giving Hoogle. I wasn't giving you a useless 90s NBA
story. Hey, that'd be funny. That's all I can remember. We were sitting at the Hard Rock, and we'd be talking about something, and then a little boom would go down. You know, guys. Back in 97.
All right, we'll take a quick break. ESPN's Ariel Helwani is going to join us next. You can't hold us down. songs, Robbie. Why would you play this song? I hate this song so much. The Fight Island song? Oh my!
You sing it all the time.
Because it's right up there with the when ESPN was going with it. Hey, you believe that we could win this fight tonight? All season during college football, nonstop. They couldn't have picked a worse song. I'm telling you. This is going to be Dolphins Bills this weekend. Josh Allen with the football.
Nope.
Can't hold a football.
No, man. Uh-oh. Guess who's tied for the lead?
In golf?
Yep.
Who?
Rory.
Ugh. Let's go out to the Toyota of Hollywood guest line. Shop over 1,500 Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. ESPN's Ariel Helwani joins us there. Look, Ariel, we normally have you on to talk fights, but I got to be honest with you. I just want to know if you're ready for this Dolphins ass-kicking that the Bills are going to give them this weekend. Come on, man.
I mean, that was good. I needed that laugh this morning.
Listen, man, you know that it's a revenge game. You got Ryan Fitzpatrick, revenge game. Chan Gailey, revenge game.
Like 9 years ago? Right.
Revenge games never leave.
He's played for so many teams that if he had a revenge game all the time, they'd win the Super Bowl. He's played for 8 teams.
Yes. But by the way, I like Fitzpatrick. He was good for us. You know, it was a nice little run, and he seems like a good guy, and I love the beard. He kind of looks like Conor McGregor and all that stuff. Smart guy. Seems like a great family man. But, I mean, come on, Josh Allen. You want to talk about a locomotive. You want to talk about a cannon. You want to talk about a leader. You want to talk about a guy that galvanizes the troops. We have been waiting for this for 2 decades, probably more than 2 decades at this point, like for a real team that, you know, when you're an opposing team, you look at the schedule and you see the Bills of Buffalo this coming weekend, you just write the L already. You know, it's like it's a foregone conclusion. We're winning the AFC East. That's just a done deal. How far we go in the playoffs, you know, that remains to be seen.
Wow.
But I've never been more confident about the AFC East.
Whoa.
He sees the Patriots down. He's a cocky Bills fan now.
Hey, he needs to hit those 18-wheeler brakes like Mike Inglis. I mean, look, it's Buffalo, and there's a couple of teams that are like this. Buffalo, Cleveland, Dallas.
Get out of here with the Cleveland. What are you talking about with the Cleveland?
No, let me finish. Let me finish.
Did Cleveland make the playoffs last year?
Let me finish. They are all teams that go into a season, have an excellent roster, teams, everybody gives them their just due, and then they wet the bed.
This is one of the worst takes I've ever heard in radio history. The Buffalo Bills, like the biggest loser franchise of the last 2 decades, no one has ever had any expectations for us. What are you talking about? Like, we're not on the front page of, you know, all the sports magazines and the papers and stuff like that. We're not in prime time. We don't play in any of these games. Like, they don't put us on Monday Night Football. They don't put us on Thursday Night Football. We're the Buffalo Bills. No one wants to play for Buffalo, except for now. Things have changed. Finally, no expectations.
I think you guys had to give Mario Williams like a gazillion dollars to go up there, and you had him for a couple of years.
Yeah, that worked out really well. But let's talk about my guy, Stephon Diggs. That's right, the man. What do you have? Eight catches last week.
Ariel, like, you really feel like Josh Allen, though, like you, a locomotive, as you call him. You really trust this man throwing the football?
100%. You know, it's funny. I saw a play that Lamar Jackson did last week where he kind of got rid of the football. It was like, I don't know, flea flick or whatever the heck it was, a lateral. And if that was Josh, you know the play I'm talking about, right, when he was scrambling. And if that was Josh Allen who did it, everyone would have made fun of him. Everyone would have called him an idiot. Everyone would have said he can't protect the football, all this stuff. The guy is always targeted. Meanwhile, if you look at his stats last week, he had an incredible game. Yeah, okay, he missed the one dude in the end zone. Okay, big deal.
By a lot.
Okay,
missed.
Okay, he missed.
He was the only guy on the screen on my television.
Oh, great. And what happened at the end? They got the W. Like, what are we talking about? Like, is he not allowed to make a mistake?
I like Josh Allen.
So what's the problem?
We're not bad-mouthing him.
I'm bad at nothing.
Tell me right now. Tell me right now. Would you rather have Josh Allen or would you rather have Fitzpatrick?
Well, Josh Allen.
I mean, I'd rather have Josh Allen
than Baker Mayfield at this point.
I'm looking with Fitzpatrick. We don't know what we're going to get. The thing that you have to be worried about is Fitzpatrick was terrible last week, which means he's due for a good game next week. That's how he rolls.
Would you rather have Josh Allen or Tua?
Oh, that's not even close. Tua.
Wait.
It's not even close.
Crazy. You're not.
You're crazy.
If you say Tua and say Miami and say anything negative, people are gonna come get you.
Let me tell you something, Errol. This is going to be your only year to win the AFC East because once Tua takes over, if he doesn't rally them this year by week four, you're never gonna win it again. It's gonna be an incredible run.
What are they waiting for, by the way? If he's so great, what are they waiting for?
There was no preseason. You know this the way the football teams work. Just let him feel it out.
Joe Burrow playing. Joe Burrow's out there doing it. Let him walk out there.
Let him walk out.
He's got no choice.
He didn't have a Fitzpatrick. They were just like, Andy Dalton, we're done with you. They were tired of having him around. Like, just give Tua a couple of weeks just to kind of smell the rose a little bit. So, you know, let him know where to put his helmet when he gets to the field. He's going to be rolling by week four.
Man, you know, it's so funny. I just stumbled upon this great stat right here. Josh Allen, at 24 years young, had 312 passing yards with no interceptions in week one. Last season, two QBs under the age of 24 had 300-plus passing yards and no picks in week one. You know what? You know who those people are? Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes. Okay?
Didn't he fumble it twice?
I don't care. No interceptions. That's besides the point.
Let's talk about something we can agree on here. You talked to our lovable little point guard down here, Goran Dragic. You had him on your podcast.
How about that guy? What a mensch. What an incredible get that guy is. He is such a nice man. Wow, I was blown away.
He is adorable and he is an assassin. How did you enjoy talking to Goran?
Oh my God. First of all, for the past year or so, you know, I primarily cover mixed martial arts, and I would notice on Twitter, he would like a lot of my tweets related to MMA. I was like, what? Goran Dragic is an MMA fan? You know, some guys, they talk about it a lot. Some guys, they don't. I didn't know he was. So I just kind of kept that in my back pocket. And then obviously they're on this great run. And there's such a – I mean, you will hear no criticism from me about the Miami Heat. And this coming from, you know, a lifelong Knicks fan, less so these days. Nothing really to be a fan of. I just have so much respect for that franchise and that team and what they built. I said, hey, you know, this was the day of game one. I said, would you like to come on the show and talk about the run and also your love of MMA? The guy, I DM'd him. The guy responded to me, no joke, in 3 seconds. And he's like, yes, I would love to. He's like, if we win tonight, I'll do it tomorrow. And then they won, and he was the leading scorer, 29 points. And I DM'd him again maybe at 11 p.m., so like an hour after the game, an incredible game, what a block by Bam. And he responds back to me again in like 3 seconds. He's like, all right, yeah, I'll do it. And he was such a joy. Like off camera, he was great, wanting to talk about MMA. I'm a fan of that guy. And I was a fan before I even knew he was an MMA fan, before I talked to him. I just love his style. I love the way he plays. I love the fact that he was relegated to the bench. And he told me yesterday he was annoyed about that, but he didn't let it, you know, affect him. And now look what he's doing in the playoffs, and he's such an important part of their run right now. Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
What was your favorite fight thing that he brought up to you?
I love the fact that he's a longtime Mirko Krokop fan because, you know, sometimes you hear guys, I'm an MMA fan, and he's like, okay, Conor McGregor, they're just sort of surface. This guy's been watching for years. He told me that, you know, he first got into it via Mirko Krokop, who's Croatian. You know, obviously, Goran is from Slovenia, and it's all, you know, the Balkans and all that, and Krokop was the man back in the day. So once he said Krokop as his introduction into the fight game, I was like, okay, this guy's legit. And then we're like talking about upcoming fights, and this weekend there's Colby Covington against Tyron Woodley. He's talking to me about Nico Price against Donald Cerrone and Angela Hill and Michelle Watterson last week. Like, the guy knows his stuff, and he says he goes out of his way to watch all the big fights, the pay-per-views. Yeah, that's really cool, man. I didn't think. He also told me Myers Leonard is a big fan as well, so I love hearing that. You know, the coolest thing about getting to cover some games this year for me was going to the games and then seeing who's a big fan. Like Michael Malone, the coach of the Nuggets, is a big fan. Billy Donovan is a big fan. Like, who would have thought these guys? Steven Adams, big fan. So it's really cool to see who are the quasi-closet fans, if you will.
Well, before we get you out of here, man, I guess we'll do it off with one fight thing. What is the most interesting thing you think about this main event, Colby versus Woodley, as far as going? I know it's a lot later than we hoped it would be, but we're finally getting it this weekend.
Oh, that's it? You raised the white flag about the Bills and Dolphins. You don't want any more of this heat.
I don't feel like you really believe in Josh Allen. You're coming up with, you know, lunatic
really?
Stats.
You ignore his.
Have you ever jumped through a table? Have you ever done Bills Mafia jumping through a flaming table?
Can I be honest with you right here and now? I'm not a big fan of Bills Mafia. I don't like the name. I don't like the whole persona. Like, to me, that was when they were losers in the 2000s and they needed something to get excited about. Like, I'm Cornelius Bennett. I'm Bruce Smith. I'm Thurman Thomas. I'm Daryl Talley. I'm Jim Kelly. I'm Marv Levy. That's my era. I'm Kenneth Davis. Like, that's the team that I grew up loving in Orchard Park. Not these bozos wearing Zubaz pants and jumping through flaming tables. Like, that's embarrassing. Like, let's grow up, guys. We're supposed to be a class organization now. We're not supposed to be the butt of the joke anymore. So that's not my thing.
Wow, you got all serious.
He's a highfalutin Bills fan.
That's right.
Ariel, what part of Canada are you from?
I'm from Montreal, Quebec, Canada. So when I grew up in the early 90s, you know, we would only get, you know, we'd get CBS and Fox, obviously, and we would get the one game. There was no Sunday ticket. So the Bill, like, you know, they were the best team, and obviously they were the nearest team to us. So that's how I really, you know, grew up loving them.
Right. My wife's from Sherbrooke.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, that is random. Actually, have we talked about this?
Nope.
No, nope.
I go up there to those Severn waterfalls. Got to tell you, not a fan of the woods.
What?
Yeah, no.
I'm a city guy.
I'm more of a city guy. Yeah, right. I'm more of a city guy myself.
Walking around in the woods.
I love Miami. South Beach is a great place. I mean, it's still Buffalo, New York. Let me tell you.
Totally.
Yeah, we've had some great memories over there. Pro player Joe Robbie. I don't know what you call it these days. Hard Rock. This that. I mean, we had some great memories in the playoffs, Dan Marino and all that stuff. It's been a great run. I hope you guys can pick it up. It'd be nice to have you up there with us. You know, maybe this year, you know, you'll compete with the Jets for fourth place. It'll be nice. It'll be fun.
It's very impressive for you to beat Adam Gase. He's the worst coach in the league.
Yeah, we could start talking maybe in a couple of years about you guys competing against us at the top. But, yes, Covington and Woodley's a great fight, 2.5 years in the making. It's unfortunate that we didn't get it 2 years ago. I think it would have been a better fight, but like, rarely do you get a grudge match like this where you have two guys who despise each other. And there's some other backdrop stuff to the fight as well, which is obvious, which I think elevates it. And then the whole card, the main card, is I think the best, you know, fight night one of the year, with that guy Khamzat Chimaev returning against Gerald Meerschaert and Donald Cerrone and Nico Price and Mackenzie Dern and Randa Markos, Kevin Holland. So it's a fun card. I am very much looking forward to it on Saturday. You know, a lot of these cards, sometimes they kind of blend together because they're on every single weekend. This one, in my opinion, sticks out and is worth watching.
Well, check it out, and check out Ariel's interview with Goran Dragic. It's on his new podcast, and I'm sure it's fantastic because Goran's
don't lose
fantastic.
This week. Do not lose.
Yeah, do not lose. Don't, if it's Pat, if
it's, didn't watch listen, it beforehand.
We're calling you back if it's Pat. If Fitzpatrick gives you the business, we're calling you back. I'm letting you know right now.
I love the lack of enthusiasm. Let me tell you something right now. You can ban me from ever appearing on this show if Fitzpatrick gives us the business. I mean, what does that even mean?
Yeah, everybody like, knows what giving the business means. You know it when you know it. You know it when you know it.
Hey, all right.
27-14 Buffalo.
Hit the bricks, Helwani.
And a score?
Wow.
Oh, wow. Right.
Hit the bricks. Get out of here.
I'm out.
We'll talk to defensive tackle Christian Wilkins next. All right, Leroy, very excited to talk to this man. What have you cooked? You cooked brisket with this man? What was the thing that you had, Leroy?
Steakums. He tried to eat all of them.
this man is a menace. He's a damn good player. He's a defensive tackle for your Miami Dolphins, Christian Wilkins, who is helping spread the word about home field advantage sweepstakes, which is looking to let fans in on the game day rituals and how he prepares to come compete on the field. And he wants to know how Dolphin fans are going to rep from home. The sweepstakes is launching on Thursday.
If you guys want to enter, post a photo on Twitter, use the hashtag, #GearUpForGameDay, tweet at Pepsi, and show off their Pepsi Game Day pride with their home turf. Upload your favorite rituals, sports swag, and any other homage to flex their passion for their team. Fans will also be able to keep up with the conversation at PepsiGameDayGlory.com, which inevitably asks the question, Christian Wilkins, what do you do? What is a game day ritual that you do? You must do every game day before you go and wreak havoc on the field?
Oh, man, there's so many things I got to do. I feel like, honestly, like my routine throughout the week is pretty consistent, like just everything to a T. Like I like to keep it, you know, as scheduled and as routine as possible. But on game day, just from the morning I wake up, from the time I wake up, the time I go to sleep the night before, the meal I get, you know, I got to have my oatmeal and strawberries and blueberries, you know, every before every game with a side of, you know, with eggs on the side, got to have that. And then just even when I, like, you know, even from the music I listen to, got to have the same playlist. Most guys like to listen to a lot of hype stuff, a lot of, rap or whatever, but I like to slow it down and get my mind right with a little R&B, a little old school R&B. That's my thing. And also, you know, as people know now, I'm a Hamilton fan. I'm a big Alexander Hamilton fan.
We saw this. We saw you.
There might be some slight Hamilton in there too. You know, just to try, kind of get my mind right.
It's almost scary knowing that you're going to wreck quarterbacks and you've just listened to a musical.
Right. Hey, it's whatever works for you, whatever gets you in the right frame of mind, whatever it feels like it works for you, you know, you gotta go with it.
Is that sounds like the healthiest meal you eat all week.
Why you gotta do me like that? I actually had
just
a great
saying.
I actually had
saying.
A great summer. I got real fit. I'm down to a medium. Nah.
No, but for real, I used to I would get up early in the morning, leave the hotel, and go work out. Like, I warm up before, like, ride the bike for, like, 30 minutes.
Right.
And then I just swing by McDonald's on the way to the stadium.
Oh, my gosh.
But wait. No, that's not the kicker. Halftime. I had one of, you know, you have your favorite guy in the locker room who hooks you up, right?
Yep.
Hamburger and hot dog at halftime.
Oh, my gosh. I don't know how you did that, because if that was me, I mean, you would see all that, but you would see all that on the field. Like, I couldn't eat all that before a game. I mean, you was a smaller guy. For me, that wouldn't work. I gotta eat light. I gotta stay light on my feet.
Yeah, I know a lot of guys that eat light or don't eat, but they have to have something, because a lot of those guys that don't eat at all,
right?
When it comes halftime, they just done.
They're drained. Yeah,
and that's
drained.
Why it'd be probably the oatmeal helps. Anything else with that besides the music list? Like, you know, back then we didn't have iPhones,
right?
Or nothing like that. You had that big-ass Walkman, so
right.
People weren't feeling that. But other than that, we just, you know, go on the field, mess around.
Yeah, that's even it. Like, you know, even kind of like as I take the field, at the exact same time every game.
Right, yeah.
I go on my little walk, get my mind right. Like, I take exactly eight laps in the end zone, exactly, from the goalpost to the sideline. Like, just little weird things like that. My same routine, you know, I do my get off, do like a lot of my D-line, hand strike and footwork stuff.
Don't forget your uniform. Like, right. I used to have my socks. You got to get those socks right. If your socks don't. Yeah.
No, that's funny you say that too, because, like, you know, my dress is always the same. Like, what I warm up is always the same. The way I get dressed is the same. Like, I always put my left sock on first, then my right, then my click. Like, it's really like down to a T, and it's like, so routine and scheduled. Like, if you came in at the same time every week, I would be like, you know what I'm saying? I'd be doing the same thing at that time. Like, and it's just
here's
like
the other thing. It changed a little bit now that you're not a rookie.
Right.
You know, the rookies got to get taped early.
Right. Yeah, it's a little different now. Life's a little, I ain't gonna lie, life's a little better now that you ain't a rookie.
Save you like 45 minutes before the game?
Like, I would get all that, like, but yeah, just about 45 minutes. Yeah, that's right. No, that's pretty good. Yeah.
All right, is there get back this year, Christian? Like, are you is there anything you're making the rookies do that you had to do the year before?
I mean, no, actually, like me, because I know what life was like as a rookie, so I try to look out as much as I can, just help them, encourage them, you know, and just kind of like even the tough rookie things they got to do, I kind of be like, hey, this is how I did it, or like just how you make it a little easier on yourself, or you know, help them as much as I can, like, you know, pay for certain things or whatever it is. Yeah. Just try to get them where I fit in to help them.
You were a menace this last game, man. You put up a lot of big numbers. I know you said after the game that you weren't, you know, you're always happy with the win, but I mean, look, man, year two, you were first round pick. I know a lot of fans got to be excited seeing what you did. Are you, I guess, I don't want to say like, are you shocked by it, but like, does it feel like all the work you put into the off season, did you feel it come forth in game one?
Yeah, like, I definitely don't want to get ahead of myself or, like, you know, allow, you know, one good game, the first game of the year, to be too much of a high. But I'm definitely feel like I put a lot of work in, you know, last season, this off season, to get the result I want to get, you know. And so hopefully, you know, those type of performances are a thing or become a normal thing and become a routine thing. Like, if I don't do that, I want people to be like, whoa, where was Christian? Like, you know what I mean? Or,
right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, even then, like, you know, sometimes you have the best game ever and the stats won't be there. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, people like big stats, step last plays. You know what I'm saying? As long as I'm helping my team win and doing the things that matters and playing winning football, as long as I know I'm contributing to the win.
Especially at your position, because exactly. It doesn't show up in numbers.
Exactly. A lot of the time, it's not a glory game. And it's not right. Going to be a game where, you know, stats. Sometimes you might just have to eat double teams. Sometimes you might just have to set the edge. Or sometimes you might just have to get penetration and let other guys eat. And that's the beautiful thing about football. It's really the ultimate team sport. So sometimes you got to be the sacrificial lamb. Sometimes you're going to be the playmaker.
Will you please explain to people how big Cam Newton is?
No, no, I ain't going to lie. Like, for a quarterback and everything, like, he's a little different. You know, he's real big, and he's like, you know, you can't miss him. Usually, like, you know, quarterbacks look a little different in the pocket and under center and stuff, but he's a lot bigger. He's more of like a tight end size, you know.
Built like Gronk.
He's built more like a tight end, yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
but he shouldn't be wearing the chain out on the field, right? Like, you had to go.
And... right. Oh man, see, there you go. I guess he shouldn't have, you know.
Listen, you gotta do what you gotta do, man. If you don't think you should be wearing jewelry on the field, it's not part of the dress code for Christian Wilkins. I like it.
Oh man, no. I mean, hey, I ain't had nothing to do with that. But it is what it is.
Hey, wasn't me.
Right, wasn't me.
Wasn't me. So this week, you get ready for another quarterback that's similar, not as big, but the same kind of gonna scramble a little bit, gonna throw the ball down the field. Are y'all kind of going into this game like, look, we haven't had any preseason on this.
Right.
We know what it's like. Now we know we got to contain this guy or make sure we get him when we get him down. I mean, how y'all approaching this game? Kind of the same way?
There's definitely a lot of things, you know. As you know, you kind of take a little bit from every game moving mm-hmm. forward into the next one. And, you know, as much as you flushed last week, you know, you can still take a lot of things and learn from it. So I feel like that's what we're going to do. And also, you know, they played a game too, so we got some tape to watch and kind of get a real sense of what they like to do. And we'll just try to put together the best game plan possible and execute it to the best of our abilities. And, you know, hopefully we get to win this weekend.
Is there a new guy in the locker room that you really vibed with? You guys brought in a lot of new talent on that defense. Is there somebody that you've really clicked with early on that you're like, I like that?
I really like a lot of our guys. You know, I feel like we brought in some great guys that, you know, that I've been growing a relationship with, from Shaq Lawson. He was my teammate in college, to Ogba, to E-Rob, and me and Kyle Van Noy actually got really close already. And, you know, he's kind of like, you know, my big brother, you know what I mean? And me and him got really tight so far. And it's great energy, great vibes. And I just feel like we've all come together real naturally, you know, even in a short amount of time, not having OTAs and things like that, in a, you know, kind of in a different world, we're pretty tight. So I'm really optimistic about what we're going to be able to do this year as a team and as a defense.
Here, I'm going to say this, and I want to punch myself in the neck for saying it, because I hated it. But do you wish you had some preseason games?
I like, it's funny because I feel like, you know, guys like be like, you know, typically guys would be like, we could do away with the preseason games. It's just too much. Like, it's a lot, like, you know, it's a lot on my body. Like, typically the older guys who've been around the league. But
right.
I feel like, you know, it is good because you get to polish up on your game. You get the, you know, you get a little bit of the game experience. You kind of go through the process without it really counting. Like, yes, you want to work and get better and everything, and, you know, everyone uses those preseason games differently. But, you know, I feel like those would have been good. Maybe like two probably would have been
right.
would have been sufficient.
Plus, you guys practiced 4 weeks against each other.
Right, exactly.
Like, after 2 weeks of a normal season, you're like, whatever, man, let's go.
Right, exactly. So, I mean, I feel like two preseason games would have been real helpful. Right. But it is what it is, and, you know, we got to go out there and perform. So,
what was it like being in a stadium with no fans with the fake noise? Like, was that weird? Did it, like, it seemed like it all played fair? Because I found it kind of – it was kind of strange because they said they were, like, customizing the sound in, like, each building across the league. So what was that experience like? Because I know you guys are going to have actual real fans in your building, but they had nobody.
Yeah, no, that was a little bit different of an experience. Like, you really had to bring your own energy or kind of find way. Because even when you go in an away arena, you know, you kind of use their fans as your fuel, you know, kind of as like a little bit. But no, it's like dead silent out there. You can hear a pin drop. And it's like you literally only hear the natural sound of football, just pads thumping, you know, communication, all that. It was like kind of a weird, different experience, you know, almost like, yeah. So like you really got to like bring your own energy and really lock in and like, you know, make sure you're not just being too casual out there.
It's like that camp scrimmage.
Right.
You know, exactly. That's
what it kind of feels like. It feels like a scrimmage, you know, almost. But that's the part where I'm saying you don't want to be too casual. Yeah. Where it feels like practice.
I got you.
You got to bring that intensity and like almost like get your mind like, no, this is a game. This one counts, you know.
So the Hamilton thing, like we heard you mic'd up with the singing. When did this love for musicals happen? And how long before you memorized that entire soundtrack? Because that was a beautiful thing.
So I'm not gonna lie, like ever since I was like younger, I always kind of just been weird, like been a sucker for plays and musicals and whatever, like always since I was young. And like when I was in high school, I went to a prep school in Connecticut, and like at prep schools, you get kids who go to school for like theater and like, you know, for that kind of stuff. And so they would put on great productions, and like, I'm like, yo, I'm getting like really good stuff for like high school productions. Like I'm going in there like, dang, these dudes are killing it. Like, you know what I'm saying? Doing a lot of different plays and musicals. I'm like, wow, like I really started to, you know, even like as I kind of grew like throughout high school, I love plays and things like that more. And then, you know, Hamilton came about, you know, and I finally got to go see it last summer. And that was the first Broadway play I ever seen. And, you know, I'm kind of spoiled now because that was the, you know, I find it hard for something to, you know, top that. And I've seen it twice on Broadway, once when it came down here to Miami, and about, you know, 10, 15, 20 times on on Disney Plus. So, you know, and it didn't take me long to learn the soundtrack. I probably learned the whole soundtrack, you know, pretty quickly, because I was pretty, you know, committed to learning it and like listen to it every day. So
Christian is here on behalf of Pepsi. They're doing the gear up for game day. You guys can show off how your favorite game day rituals, your sports swag, everything you're getting ready. The Dolphins got it going. The fans are getting pumped up for it. Your favorite rituals, any homage that you want to show your passion for the team. Is there anything like Christian you want to tell us about this or anything you want to tell Dolphins to get pumped up with this Pepsi campaign?
No, you pretty much hit everything. You're right on point. And like, you know, Miami Dolphins, we got some of the best fans, you know, in the NFL and everything. We know this is like a completely different experience now because everyone's at home. It's a little tougher for people to want to get to the games and things like that. You know, so like now we're partnering with Pepsi and like, you know, now we got the sweepstakes and, you know, it gives the fan an opportunity to really feel more engaged. It's kind of really, you know, heighten their game day experience now because you're, you know, essentially forced to be at home with everything going on and not everyone's going to be able to get the game like they normally can. So I just encourage you guys all to, you know, get involved with the sweepstake with the hashtag Gear Up for Game Day. Show us what you got. Show us all your game day routines, your game day rituals, you know, whatever you do. Paint your face, you know, wear the jerseys. Make sure you have your Wilkins jerseys, number 94 on the field, number one in your heart. Don't forget it.
Advertising?
But hey, you know, but make sure y'all do your thing. I'm really excited to see what you guys put together.
Before we get you out of here, Coach Flo, I swear to God, this guy looks like he's got the biggest shoulders I've ever seen. How many shoulder shrugs he doing in this gym?
he's a former linebacker, you know what I'm saying? So he got a little bit of shoulders to him, but you know, we make him feel a little smaller around all of us big guys.
Oh,
you know?
So he's getting in there early, like he's getting the workout.
Right now he's in there. No, yeah, sometimes that's what it is. You'll come around. Like at like 5:30, Flo's already in there in a full sweat, getting his workout in and stuff. Like, you know, so I guess he's doing a bunch of shrugs in there or something. But
Well, look, man, we're looking forward to this week. Good luck bouncing back against Buffalo. Thanks for giving us some time, man. You're always a good time on the show, and we appreciate it, man.
All right, thank you. Appreciate you.
All right, man.